Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Greg asked before, did they get the standard company email?
We want to thank Shane for his service, been with the team for a long time, right?
Everyone, to everyone at bears.com.
Yes, right.
Everyone gets that note.
Shane's looking for his next opportunity. Needed a change.
If you'd like to reach out to him, here's his personal email.
Shaner78 at gmail.com. It's some Gary Oldman.
Yes, man.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:12 on Wisconsin's Morning News this Tuesday morning. Busy hour ahead. A lot of stuff we want to get to. Want to get you the latest from New York as a judge will make an important ruling regarding President-elect Donald Trump. This is not going to be the sentencing. This is going to be whether or not there is a sentencing. One of the cases that had a conviction earlier this year. We'll get to that. We'll get to the arguments before Wisconsin State Supreme Court on abortion. We've all known this was coming. Now, finally, the arguments made before the high court, and we'll kind of read the tea leaves.
Multiple timelines, some variants almost.
The variants in the timeline.
Yeah.
Right. Which timeline are we on? Are we in the Biff Tannen 1985 from Back to the Future 2,
yeah,
where he already got the Gray's Sports Almanac and then made all the bets and then became the magnet that he was? Or are we on the original timeline?
Excellent blend.
Everything relates to cinema, of course. Art imitating life or yes, vice versa. All of that ahead, but let's start with this missing guy who is still missing, but very much alive.
This is fascinating. You might remember this story from Watertown. This was back in August. Man went missing kayaking in Green Lake, right? Green Lake County. And the sheriff in Green Lake County did some unveiled some new details about this on Friday. Now the national media is all over this story as
well. Yeah, it was on Good Morning America today. It was on
Today's Show. Yep, everyone jumping on. So his name is Ryan Borgwart, father of three, he's in his mid-50s. He was reported missing after kayaking in August in Green Lake. He faked his own death, they now believe. ABC's Ava Pilgrim.
The 54-year-old was first reported missing August 12th when he didn't come home after kayaking. Police finding a capsized kayak and Borgwart's car parked nearby. Fishermen finding his fishing pole and tackle box with his wallet, keys, and license inside.
Yeah, so they found all of this stuff. And they're searching, and there's volunteers who have been searching. There's been all types of people out looking for this guy, or maybe then looking, you know, recover his remains and all this. Meanwhile, he's got three children. He's got a wife there. Now they believe he is alive and in Europe. Investigators have learned that Borgwart obtained a second passport. He cleared his hard drives and his browser history. He even changed some banking information. He even bought a life insurance policy. He bought some airline gift cards. And they think he snuck into Canada and then made his way to Europe. Why?
Investigators think Ryan Borgwart didn't drown, but instead say he faked his own death to run off to Europe with a woman he met online.
Some woman from Uzbekistan. Apparently.
Is it really Uzbekistan, or are you making that part
up? Making that up.
None of these parts made up.
No, yeah, so they think that he met some woman from Uzbekistan, a country with roughly 36 million people, and that's where he is right now.
It's so interesting because the details that you delivered on the front end of that story about the tackle box, about the keys and wallet found, and the car is still there. You know, all of those things tell authorities when they first come on a scene of like, this is not something that was planned. Obviously, a person who is trying to disappear takes their wallet, their financials, or there's a car or whatever.
Yeah.
But so that was really well done. But then you read that second part about the money that got moved around and things that were erased, and that starts to lead to suspicion.
And what really obviously opened the door for them is that they realized that he had been run in Canada, and by run in quotes, meaning that, yeah, he had a different passport. So passport at home was his old passport. That's the one his wife was like, well, here's his passport. No, he had a new one. He just got a new one, and it ran through Canada, and now they think he's in Europe. But who knows if there's even a real woman? I mean, who knows? Maybe he's being catfished. But what? And people know what catfishing is. That's when you think you're talking to a real person and it's not a real person.
Right. And then you show up to meet her and it's not her. It's a bunch of dudes who roll you.
Yeah. But think about all the amount and time that some others took on this. Volunteers talking to ABC frustrated.
You know, what a waste of time that we did. We put so much time and effort into that case. Very disappointed in them.
That's Keith Cormack, and he runs an organization called Bruce's Legacy. He was just like, yeah, man, we spent a month looking for this guy.
I think that's why I really hope they find him, for an assortment of reasons. That one, that he has to answer for the hours and hours and hours that authorities and volunteers put in at searching for him. He has to answer to his family, of course, but also the why. A lot of people, men, women, otherwise, you know, leave their families, and it's a terrible thing, but you work through that.
But there is an easier way. Why don't you just get a divorce?
That's what I mean. Like they say, look, yeah. I'm done here. I met this woman who's in Uzbekistan. I'm going to live in Europe. Peace.
Yeah.
Out. Well, that's terrible, and your family has to live with that, but then they don't live with this uncertainty of where you are. And now that you're caught, even worse, dude.
But do you have to come back? I mean, they're going to try to get him on restitution. They're going to try to say, hey, look, you owe us money for the man hours, the time spent searching, looking, investigating this case.
I think there's case law against like actually faking your own death. Now, did he break any laws because he had the updated passport? So it's not a fake passport. You're saying it was a real passport.
Got a passport and left.
It was his.
Right. Like, so right now I have two passports. Remember I told you that story about how I went online and got my new one? It took a week, by the way.
Oh, I see.
And I still have my old passport. It's no longer functionable, I don't believe. But it is the passport.
And then you have your passport from Belize that you use to conduct your various criminal activities. Was I not supposed to say that?
Okay,
thing. Sorry.
But so it's likely just an older passport, not this updated one. At least that's how I interpret that, but I could be wrong.
So right, you get into how many, regardless of the morality of the act, what laws were actually broken by disappearing?
Yeah.
There could be some insurance stuff in there. You mentioned an insurance policy.
Yes, for $375,000 life insurance policy.
Right, so there could be that. I think there's an assortment of reasons that would cause authorities to want him back in the States. But do they know where he is? That's the thing. They haven't found him, have they?
I believe he's in Europe, but they have yet to
Europe
find him.
Well, Europe is a lot fairly of countries, right? covers some territory.
So has
there.
He been Googling himself, do you think? Like check
absolutely right. And go now to the internet cafe there or whatever.
Like would he know by now? Like
on to me.
And does new woman know about his former life? Mm. So I have three children. That's actually the part that bugs me the most about this. Like that is just
yeah. She
what
does
kind
because
of
if you're a
terrible
okay.
person, do you have to be?
If you're capable of creating, unless you used an alias or something like that, I guess. But if she knows who he is, right? She Googled him also, right? Shows up somewhere.
Maybe. I don't know.
See, we have many questions.
And like,
that's why we have to find him.
That's another thing. Like, red flag, right? Like, if you meet the man of your dreams online and he's married, lives in a different country, and he suggests, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fake my death, and then I'm going to come find you, and we're going to live together. Like, another red flag there, right? Well,
love makes one do crazy things.
I guess so.
Year-end tax planning, by the way. Quick pivot. That's good stuff. Right?
Speaking of money and moving it around.
Year-end tax planning sounds daunting. In fact, it never even occurred to me. What do you mean year-end tax planning? That's how bad I am.
You hadn't even thought about it.
I tell you, Spano's going to fire me from this next one. He's like, look, we want you to have some idea at all about what we're talking about here, Vetrano.
Spano's going to fire me. Let's not send that to him.
Year-end tax planning can sound daunting. Annex Wealth Management CEO Dave Spano and Director of Financial Planning Eric Strong. A couple of smart guys. Eric Strom, we reviewed what tasks you'll need to prioritize and what might require attention, particularly given that this was an election year. This is our Annex Wealth Management webinar. You can visit the Annex Wealth Management webinar page on WTMJ.com. Listen back now.
We have some breaking news. We were having some fun with the Chicago Bears because they're in turmoil. They're going to play the Packers on Sunday at Soldier Field in Chicago. And they haven't scored a touchdown in a couple of weeks. Offense is really struggling. And we were playing this sound. This is from ESPN 1000, our sister station, when David Kaplan, their morning show co-host, was talking to head coach Matt Eberflus yesterday. So the head coach's cell phone kept cutting in and out. And this is how it went.
We got to pull those experiences.
Coach?
Now wait for it here.
Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now.
But we have some breaking news this morning.
Greg Pancake Hill report, first to report.
Offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, Shane Waldron, has been fired.
Okay. Well, you had to fire somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah, good luck. It's Tuesday now, so now you're 2 days into Bears-Packers week, and okay, new OC, go get him. Good luck with that.
Eberflus, for folks who don't follow the Bears closely, head coach, he's a defensive-minded guy, right?
Yes.
So if you're not going to whack the head coach whacks the offensive coordinator, so you still have continuity of head coach. You're probably still running the same offense. You just essentially have somebody else calling the plays, right?
I guess so.
I don't know that that's that big of a deal other than a message sender, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you, like you said, you had to do something.
Right, head fire somebody. Somebody's head had to roll. What's the guy's name, Pancake?
Shane Waldron.
Shane Waldron.
So he's out.
No. Fired McPherson.
How did Greg asked before, did they get the standard company email? We want to thank Shane for his service. Been with the team for a long time, right?
Everyone, to everyone at bears.com.
Yes, right.
All. Everyone gets that note.
Shane's looking for his next opportunity. Just needed a change.
If you'd like to reach out to him, here's his personal email.
Shaner78@gmail.com. It's some Gary Oldman.
Yes, man.
ShaneDog54@
Shane Money, all caps.
Oh, Shaner.
See, one would think this would be a good thing for the Packers, but I don't know. You would assume that a team like this isn't going to just light up the scoreboard on Sunday, but who knows?
Well, it adds a wrinkle and just a little bit more intrigue as the Packers come off the bye week today. Should have some stuff out of 1265 Lombardi this week. Traditionally, Tuesday is the Packers' off day, so maybe they're around and then they get back to business. I expect to hear from some of the players on Wednesday post-practice.
Tausch wasn't acting all... He wasn't getting all excited about this. He was saying, hey, look, you know, anything could happen still got to concentrate. But, boy, you sure would think that this looks good for Green Bay on Sunday.
And if you want to reach out to the Bears offensive coordinator, again, that's ShaneMeister@Hotmail.com. On everybody's favorite list, this version.
This version of a Christmas tree. Yeah, you're right.
Tree's moving.
Yeah, so the tree is on its way to Deer District. The Milwaukee tree harvested this morning.
The holiday season officially underway as Milwaukee's 111th annual Christmas tree has been harvested and is en route to Deer District for the lighting December 5th. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells WTMJ, among all the Christmas trees he's seen over the years,
this is an incredible specimen.
A sentiment echoed by Milwaukee Alderwoman Charlene Moore.
Give me a grade on this here tree. What do you think?
Listen, this tree is definitely an A+.
On Milwaukee's west side, Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
Well done.
Fully agree. It is a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
Like, it has a great shape to it. Super tall.
64 feet tall.
Blue spruce, yes? Mm-hmm. It's very often
Colorado
blue spruce. They like that one
mm-hmm.
for that particular thing. I guess you don't have a lot of Fraser firs planted in front yards, right? Isn't that the most popular one?
The Fraser fir? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So we have this. We also have a Cathedral Square. There's going to be some more decorating taking place of those trees. That's going to start this morning. And then we also have coming to the Yerkes Observatory in Walworth County. That's right by Lake Geneva there in Williams Bay. That one is going to have the world's tallest glass tree. They're going to unveil that in the next couple of weeks.
They create it. on site, right? They
yes
create the glass.
And I believe the artist
spin this sort of tree shaped thing,
right? With that, you know how you have that hot glass that can be. I believe that actually is going to take place like with community assistance too, if I'm to believe the videos we've seen.
When's the actual tree lighting? Did Adam say? Deer District, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, December 5th will be the tree lighting ceremony.
Really?
For the city tree.
Interesting, okay.
So right now it's on the flatbed on its way over to Deer District.
Via Vliet Street.
A43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead, Vince Vitrano here, taking you up to 9 o'clock. Two more things we want to get to. The status of abortion in Wisconsin now in the hands of the state Supreme Court. Do that in a moment. Let's talk about President-elect Trump and the big decision facing a judge today
in
New York.
This is in New York. A judge is going to have to decide today whether to dismiss the hush money election interference conviction or proceed with the sentencing of the president-elect.
That decision the judge is going to make here today is going to determine whether President-elect Trump takes office as a convicted felon. You'll remember it was back in May, a jury here found Trump guilty of charges that involved money he had paid just before the 2016 election to silence adult film actress Stormy Daniels about their long-denied affair. Trump argued that conviction should be thrown out because of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity.
Yeah, attorneys for the president-elect argued that prosecutors filled some of their case with evidence related to Trump's official acts as president, which could fall under that immunity clause. So what's going to happen as far as today goes, Aaron Katursky?
If the judge tosses out Trump's conviction, he could order a new trial or he could throw out the indictment altogether. If he upholds the conviction, though, the judge will also have to decide whether to move forward with sentencing Trump. That's scheduled for November 26th, and the president-elect faces, in theory, up to 4 years in jail.
Can you imagine that? If there's an actual sentencing of the president-elect in a couple of weeks and that there would actually be prison time, I'm not sure how many legal experts are expecting that.
I don't know even before he became the president-elect that a lot of legal experts expected him to do time behind bars. It was more, could it be a series of fines or various other things, but that
or be a convicted felon.
Yes. You know?
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But one thing to remember, according to former federal prosecutor Laura Levinson.
Either way he goes, the one thing we know for sure is that Donald Trump and his team take any ruling up to a higher court.
Of course. So this wouldn't be the end all be all either way.
At the higher court right now is this issue that we've been talking about really since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. The status of legal abortion in Wisconsin right now is in the hands of our state Supreme Court. Arguments before the high court this week. Lawsuit seeking to overturn Wisconsin's original abortion ban that essentially outlaws abortion, but for extreme cases to protect the life of the mother. A point of order here.
Point of order.
I've made this point before. I think I'm right on this. Just given our general lack of civics knowledge in this country.
How do you mean?
I think a lot of folks think that the U.S. Supreme Court banned abortion when it overturned Roe versus Wade. Like, yeah, well, that's what happened, right? The abortion used to be legal and the U.S. Supreme Court banned it. And that's not how the law works. And that's not what happened in this case. That decision, also called the Dobbs decision, because that was the appeal to the states or to the U.S. Supreme Court, overturned federal protections for abortion access. The Supreme Court doesn't write the law. What happened is in states where abortion is legal in whatever form, it was at that time still legal. That didn't change that. It just eliminated that federal overarching protection for some access for women to abortion. So that's what overturning Roe v. Wade did.
Point of order.
Another point of order. Right now, abortion is legal in Wisconsin. And it is as legal, according to the law, as it was prior to overturning Roe versus Wade. Now, why do we keep hearing then about the 1849 law? What about that? Well, the argument before the high court right now in our state is what timeline are we on? Did overturning Roe versus Wade put the state's original abortion law back into effect? Or are we status quo where we allow in Wisconsin abortion access with various limitations, which is chief among them viability of the fetus? So in Wisconsin, I think it's neighborhood of 20 weeks where elective abortion is entirely up to a mother and the doctors or whomever. That's been the case in Wisconsin for some time. So which one, with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which timeline are we on? Are we back to 1849 law or are we in status quo? I keep thinking about, I made this analogy before, but Back to the Future, right? Back to the Future 2, old Biff Tannen goes back, gives himself the Gray's Sports Almanac, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Then he comes back. But then Marty, he gets in the time machine. He goes back to 1985. But 1985 is all jagged
up. Different timeline.
Right. He went back and changed things and actually skewed off, and we have a whole new timeline. You look at it here with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Do we go back to original then, everything that existed before that, or do we look at the law regardless and just say all that did was there are no longer federal protections that guarantee access to abortion. However, your state law is what your state law is
right
now. That's the essence of what is before our high court in Wisconsin. If you're trying to figure out which way the court will lean and rule on this, obviously, we know we have a 4-3 liberal majority now on the court. Barring the unforeseen, our state Supreme Court is expected to eventually throw out that 1849 law. Oral arguments before the court, though, are interesting, including the justices. They always ask questions of the lawyers arguing the case on either side, and observers then attempt to read the tea leaves. Again, I think this one is pretty cut and dried. If the court did not overturn that 1849 law, just based on its makeup, people would
one
be surprised.
One would assume,
yes. But I did pull this one interesting moment out from the deliberations there, or the questioning there as the oral arguments were going before our high court. This is a question from Justice Rebecca Dallet.
So in 1849, we're talking about a time when the only people that had rights were white men, correct? With property. White men who owned property, sorry. Is that right?
Yeah. So if you're looking for an indication of how the liberal majority right now is looking at this, that's pretty much all you need to hear. Now, the more sound legal argument actually seems to me to remove all of that and look at how Attorney General Josh Call is arguing this case. And he's also a Democrat, but he's taking the outcome-based judgment sort of out of it. In other words, he's not looking at, as some of these justices appear to be, is what is the outcome we hope for and then build arguments around it, which is not really those who are opposed to activist courts, right or left, don't want jurists sitting on those courts saying, well, we think the world should be like this. Therefore, regardless of the law, we're going to rule in that favor. What purists expect of the justices is that they look at what is the law. This may ultimately produce an outcome that I don't like, but nonetheless, that's what the law says. And if you want to change that, then you go to the legislature and redo it.
Right.
But Call might be able to go outside that anyway by arguing the case in this way. He's simply looking at why did we assume that Roe was, when it was overturned, that we went back to 1849. He's on this timeline issue. Wisconsin has passed many abortion laws since then, since Roe v. Wade. And are we not there instead of back in 1849? Yes. So he's suggesting that laws passed more recently take precedent and essentially stand as the law of the land today. So don't know when the high court will issue its ruling. Here's the other thing that hangs in the balance. Next spring, we're doing this all over again. So if you don't like political ads and you're really happy from the break, enjoy that break now because they're going to be back in full force because you have you will have an open seat. Justice Anne Walsh Bradley has announced that she will not seek re-election. She is in the liberal majority right now. So that opens that seat. Brad Schimmel on the right was once attorney general here in Wisconsin, now a judge in Waukesha County, expected to run on the conservative side. A Dane County judge has also issued plans to run for that seat, and that would be the liberal side.
Serious question here. Do Republicans run on abortion stuff? Are they really going to run on, no, we want to revert it back to 1849?
You've already seen that huge pivot. You saw it from the president who softened his stance. Basically, he just wanted to wash his hands of it. The president-elect is saying during the campaign, well, it's back in the hands of the states. But you've already seen Assembly Speaker Robin Voss say, we're open to talking about this. Obviously, the people have spoken.
And the polls indicate, right?
Right. So it's not a winning issue for Republicans and for those on the right. So I don't know if it's going to have the same impact on this next election.
Either way, we'll have the commercials. You're right.
Yeah. But that much we know. The commercials are back, and this decision right now lies in the hands of our state Supreme Court. 852 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
know what tomorrow is? I'm excited for this.
The big hearing.
Yes, in Washington. Hearing on unidentified anomalous phenomenon. This is a subcommittee that is chaired. It's actually going to be a joint committee, but the subcommittee chairman in the House is Wisconsin's own Glenn Grothman, Republican from, I can't remember which congressional district he is, but he's within our area.
Fond du Lac area.
Yeah. Parts of Washington County mixed in as well. And Congressman Grothman has been on this. He's been holding hearings about what we previously used to call UFOs. It's sort of now been broadened to be called unidentified anomalous phenomena. And there's been some really stunning under oath testimony before this committee before. Why do you laugh? Like, are we supposed to not believe these guys who testified before Congress?
All right.
Who have said not only is there intelligent life out there and we know it and the U.S. has known for decades. And oh, by the way, we've interacted with this life. And oh, by the way, we took some of their tech and reversed engineered it. That has been
what
sworn.
Tech? What
sworn?
Fire? What tech did we take from them?
You think we just came up with stealth on our own?
Why wouldn't we have? Why do we assume that we couldn't figure out stealth mode?
Anyway, there's another hearing tomorrow in Washington.
So it's men in black, they live among us?
Yes. Or something like that.
I dare you to ask, what are we going to do on this tomorrow?
So Congressman Grothman is going to join us live tomorrow morning on the show.
I dare you to ask Grothman if he's an alien. I dare you to ask. Are you like men in black?
I don't think he's an alien.
But if we're suggesting that the tech is like hidden here and used here and the aliens live among us?
I'm not going to ask. You ask him that.
No,
You go ahead and mock his committee.
I'm not mocking the committee.
I'm in favor of it. I want these answers. Pyramids. Come on. I think we came up with that on our own.
Interesting. So maybe that's the tech.
WTMJ forecast quickly sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. On our way to a high of 48 degrees today. Should be quiet weather, partly cloudy tonight, low down to 42. Chance of rain moving in late Wednesday. Right now, 45 in Milwaukee. WTMJ's Political Power Hour. Steve Scafidi up next.
Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now.